You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Mandy Moore's husband was in Austin this past week. You remember Mandy? She had a brief career as a pop singer, and then in what I consider her greatest role, she had a long-standing role as a character in This Is Us, which featured both a family in Pittsburgh and an amazing storyline about a family. But that's not important. What's important right now is that Mandy's husband, Taylor Goldsmith, the lead singer for Dawes and one of the greatest songwriters alive today, was in Austin last week playing a show which I missed because of my devotion to the Lord. And but a good friend sent me a clip from that show where Dawes played a version of their 2016 song, Things Happen, from their album, All Your Favorite Bands. And in the song, Things Happen, Taylor sings, "Let's make a list of all the things the world has put you through. Let's raise a glass to all the people you're not speaking to." And then he says, "Things happen. That's all they ever do." The song to me captures the idea that we human beings hold on to grievances. That's the point of Festivus, right? To air those grievances. And I'll get to Jerry Stiller at the end. We keep a list of the people who have hurt us. We keep a list of the institutions that have done us wrong. If I had a nickel for everyone who said they don't like organized religion, I could buy a lot of chalupas at Taco Bell. It's funny, people like organized hospitals, but not organized religion. Never understood that. That's another conversation. But we keep lists of all our grievances, and we base our worldview on them many times. You'll hear someone say, "Those people are always," and I bet those people, in some perceived way, slighted that person at some point or offended them in some way, and they're on the list of grievances. Or all men, or all women, or all Christians, or all those people from that country, or all Aggies. You know, they're all, that last one is a joke. When you hear someone say something like that, or something like, "You can't trust anyone," or, you know, "People are this," that is the sign of some grievance, some hurt. Again, from a person or from an institution, something like that. And you heard about that in the first reading. You know, Lessons and Carols is this great service because if you come on Christmas Eve, you'll hear those readings that tell the actual Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. But what's great about this service is it begins in Genesis 3. And of all the readings that one is allowed in the book, we always have a book that says the readings you can choose. It says the one you cannot omit is the Genesis 3 reading, the one that begins it all. You always start with the backstory. And the backstory is that human beings are people who live, like Adam and Eve, in fear and in shame and in hiding and blame, right? Adam says, "She made me do it." And she says, "The snake made me do it." Blame has been there from almost the beginning, not the beginning, but pretty quickly thereafter. And so we do that. We hold these grudges. We hold these grievances. But Christmas is this story where it is all put away. It's all undone. The grievances are over. You know that because of the reading you heard in Isaiah, where all those things that are enemies, like a little lamb and a hungry lion, are frolicking in the field together and snuggling up. all the grievances are over. Those things which are at odds are now put back together. Now, how does that happen? How do we get out of this cycle where things just happen over and over and we get stuck in these grievances? Some of you are already armoring up. I can feel it, because you love those grievances and you don't want to let them go. They are important to you. They define your identity. But I imagine that that's one of those things that, as we said in the beginning, that Andrew read in that bidding that we always hear for lessons and carols, those things we've done which grieve our Savior's heart of love. The way we are determined to be at odds with one another. How do we come, people who, though we walk in darkness, have light shine upon us? How do we get to this place? Well, an angel comes to Mary and says, you will have a child. And we know all that happens after that. We know the story well, whether you read it in the Bible or you heard Linus read it on the Peanuts Christmas special, or you've been to church, you've heard the story, or you hear it on everywhere you go these days. One cannot go into Walmart without hearing about the birth of Jesus. So we know that part. But I think what's so amazing is this part we hear about the angel coming to Mary. She's not expecting it. She's not looking for it. She's not prepared for it at all. But the miracle here is that he makes the first move. Because, see, God, if God wanted to, could very much hold a grievance against us and could hang back like we all do and nurse that grievance and love that grievance and define his identity with that grievance. But God makes the first move. He takes the initiative. You have felt this before when you have felt like you have maybe said some things you didn't mean to, but so did they. And they should say sorry first. And then I will graciously accept their apology and acknowledge that maybe I said some things I shouldn't have to. But they have to make the first move. David French is a devoted Christian, a thinker, a veteran, a writer, and he's a columnist in the New York Times. And he had this article today entitled, Why Are Christians So Cruel to Each Other? And he said, I've been hurt and antagonized by many people, but I got to tell you, the Christians, my own family, have been the worst. You've seen this in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, when Clark Griswold decides to invite everybody for a good old-fashioned family Christmas. And his wife says, yes, but your mother will accuse my mother of buying cheap hot dogs, and my mother will accuse your mother of bleaching her upper lip. So whether it's those family grievances, whether it's these big things that David French writes about, or whatever it is, that's how we act. We hold on to them. But God makes the first move. And this angel comes to Mary and basically says, I have decided to let everything go. I have decided to bury the hatchet. I have decided to forgive all the sinners. I have decided to issue and declare a complete pardon for everybody. Because that's what Jesus Christ comes to do. How do I know that? Because of how he arrives. When God comes into the world, he could arrive any way he wants to. He could arrive on a chariot. He could arrive in an Escalade. He could arrive as a wise man on a mountain. But he comes as a baby. Babies don't settle scores. They invite you in. This is the great word that we all need to hear. I don't know if you will be able to let go of your grievances, but I know that if you are to ever get to that place, it will be because you have found out that you are loved. Because holding on to a grievance is often because you have been hurt and you hold on to it to keep yourself safe. I get it. It's a defense mechanism. You won't hurt me again. And you'll keep that shield up. The only thing that might cause you to let it go is if you know if you let it go, you'll still be safe. You'll be loved and wrapped in God's care and protection. Jerry Stiller who is the guy behind Festivus, if you've seen Seinfeld, which I've referred to already. But he had a son named Ben Stiller, who recently put out a surprisingly amazing Christmas movie called The Nutcrackers, about a group of boys who are orphaned. And he, like a classic Christmas movie, he's a high-powered executive who doesn't have time for these nephews of his, but he becomes their temporary foster dad. And he spends all his time trying to find a better person or family to adopt them so that he can go back to his self-centered life. Of course, it's a Christmas movie, so it ends happily. And the way it ends is he decides that he wants them, and these children, when they finally know they are loved, that is where the transformation occurs. Now, for those boys, it was their formerly estranged executive uncle from Chicago. That's how they knew they were loved. But for you, every year, we remind you that when God shows up to let you know that you are loved and you can rest in peace and safety and let go of your armor and your anger, God shows up as a baby to show you that his heart for you bears no threat or ill will. He is unarmed, defenseless, so that no matter what you think about how God thinks about you, he shows you this child and says you can approach without fear, without shame, without anxiety, because this is who I am for you. Let us pray. Lord Christ, wherever we need you tonight, I ask that you meet us in that place, that we may rest in your great love for us. Help us to put down our armor. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.